This is part one of a two-part series about intuition. When I was talking about rituals in episodes 21 and 22, somewhere in there I said you could use your intuition in order to help create rituals, but I decided not to talk about intuition directly at the time. I find when I focus on a subject and I'm trying to get a script ready to record, there's often many related ideas that pop up, and sometimes I'll stop and I'll do what I can to incorporate the idea, but with intuition, I just decided to put it in the queue. And at the time, that meant wait until episode 32. So here we are. Let's start with at least a working definition of intuition. Of course, you can look up the word easy enough on the internet, but my intuition told me avoid the internet for now while beginning to flesh out what intuition means. I was inspired instead to email some friends and family and ask them for a definition. I requested that they define intuition on the spot, right when they read the email. Don't look up anything. Don't use a dictionary, even if you have one still. Just use your own experience at that moment and create your own personal definition. What is intuition? And if you're up for it, please prepare to pause this podcast in just a moment. I'll ring a bell. Pausing will give you a chance to come up with your own definition. If you are willing to do this, please write down your definition, perhaps on your phone, or maybe you can use some antique objects to write with, like paper and pencil. I encourage this because pausing now, before you start hearing other people's definitions, before I start talking about whatever intuition means to me, if you pause and let your mind work, let your personal definition of intuition, it's already in there somewhere. Let it come into your awareness. And I think this will help you learn about intuition more deeply when you restart the podcast. And also, please, please remember, if you have the tendency to get stuck in that paradigm of there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer, and we all have that to some extent. That's the training. Remember, this is not a test. There's no grade. There's no failure. And there's no success. There's no need to bring that paradigm into this. This is only what intuition means to you right now. Hopefully, after you write down whatever you come up with and then come back to listen, hopefully your definition will change and grow at least somewhat from listening to the rest of the episode, because hopefully you'll learn something. Okay, so here we go. A 5-second silence with a bell on each end. Get ready to hit the pause after you hit the first bell, and then come back, wait for the second bell. Okay, we are back, ready to continue. I know some of you just waited the 5 seconds without writing anything down or even fast forwarded, but the truth is everyone learns in their own way, and I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're listening. If you do have anything written down, that's great. Set it aside for now and you can review it after you hear the rest of the podcast. So here are some of the themes that emerged from the folks that I emailed. Intuition is a feeling. It's a sense. People emphasized, quote, getting out of your head. And they said intuition is not a, quote, intellectual thing. And there were many people that described it as a gut feeling. And that word gut was mentioned in several different emails. Many people also included that intuition relates to the future. It helps you make decisions about what to do or not to do. And it gives you probable outcomes. And I'm just going to offer some quotes from the email. Intuition is thoughts on something before I have any facts. Intuition is when my heart, my mind and my body align. Intuition is a mixture of rational intelligence, emotional intelligence, and picking up the electromagnetic sense in the air, as well as sense of smell. Intuition is embodied alignment with ancestral wisdom. Intuition is part of my assessment and decision-making outside my conscious process, like infrared and x-rays. One person said, "Regarding intuition, I admit I have a bit of an allergy to the word, and I feel like it's overused." She said she thought part of our current political spiral has been accelerated by too much intuition and not enough cold calculation. My own definition, before I asked anyone for anything, I said, intuition is a way of knowing the world before any thoughts form. So there you have it. That was my starting point when I decided to write this episode and go further with intuition. And now you can see where your definition fits in or where it doesn't fit in with what I've said so far. What is intuition? That's what I want to talk about today. Hello and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. I want to start by focusing just for a moment on one of the themes from the overall 10 Crutches podcast. The overall theme is how so much of what we look for is already present, already a part of us. I introduce this idea again now to make it explicit because I think it definitely applies to our intuition. We have ways of knowing things that extend beyond this little lump of gray matter between our ears. When people describe intuition as a sense or a feeling or a gut feeling, when people say intuition is not intellectual, I definitely agree. Intuition does not have to do with, at least initially, with what I think. It's a kind of intelligence that comes from somewhere else than the brain that's within our skulls. People point to their guts, their center, their hara, and say it comes from there. I'm going to put a link in the show notes about guts and intelligence. There's also going to be a few notes about Rupert Sheldrake and his book, The Science Delusion, because some of the ideas for this episode were found in that book, and I found it a really fascinating book. It's very common in our culture to simply assume all of your mind comes out of the actual physical brain. So when you have a thought, when you name a smell, when you see a color, in other words, when you have any subjective experience, many scientists have convinced us to just take it for granted that whatever is happening inside you, whatever experience, is originating from within your brain and only from within your brain. We may not know at the moment how it all works. How does consciousness arise from the brain? But all those neurons firing, all those synapses, all those chemical interactions happening in the brain, that's what is there to make a consciousness, or so the story of materialism goes. There is a material basis of the brain, and that material must account, somehow, for all of our consciousness and all of our experience. But to me, that's like looking at a TV and watching a show and saying that the show comes from the TV. It's true, in a way. The show does come from the little electronic parts of the TV. The colors that you see in the show are from the different pixels that light up in whatever color they need to be moment by moment, and the sounds and the voices or the music or the door slamming in the show you're watching, all of those sounds are transmitted from a speaker in the TV. But as you know, just because you explain everything a TV does, you have not really explained anything at all about where the TV show comes from. Who wrote it? Who acts in it? What happened on the set between takes? What is the meaning of the story you are watching? None of that will be found in the electrodes or the diodes or whatever the parts of a TV are called. In a very similar way, there is more to our story than the working parts of us. Atoms make molecules. Molecules make proteins. Proteins make cells. Cells make organs, etc. At each level, in a way, you find that it's sufficient unto itself. But if you look at the level of proteins, for example, there's a complexity that you don't see in atoms. And then neurons are way more complex than proteins. And then the neurons form trillions of synapses and work together as a brain. Well, now there's more happening there than will ever be revealed by the constituent parts. This complexity of our human physical brain is certainly one place to look for intuition, or to say there can't be such a thing as intuition, but I think it's still too narrow a field. The human brain is just too narrow to look for an adequate explanation of intuition. For me, intuition, it's like a code word. You need some word to refer to the intelligence of the whole human being, not simply the intelligence of the physical parts, not only the intelligence of the animal body. So if you can go with the metaphor that the body is like a TV, our bodies can be seen as the quote-unquote place to experience our lives. Our bodies are the place that we act from, the place where we can tell the story of our life. The human/animal body, with its complex brain, can hang out with other beings that are in other bodies with other brains. Intuition is knowledge of the world that comes from outside the strictly physical. And just like every TV show has a camera person and a writer and a producer, however you want to metaphorically map that onto your situation, you have some kind of intelligence working outside of the TV/body/physical system. This is how I think of intuition. I'm going to stop talking for now directly about intuition and start telling a kind of story I use to help me understand who and what I am. In some ways, it's closer to a musical riff than to a story, if you will. Maybe we can call it a rant. But anyway, here goes. And then somehow I'm going to end up back at intuition. Okay. How do you get a whole universe? How do you get a whole universe that has galaxies with billions of stars, each galaxy looking like they've exploded, like they're traveling away from each other? How does this happen? What does it mean? Does it mean there was some kind of big bang? How did all that stuff explode from nothing? How did all that stuff even get here to exist in the first place? How did there get to be so many stars in so much space? Humans exist in the midst of all that space. Space is all around us. But not only that. All the things we are made of, everything, including our bodies, are made of atoms, atoms with electrons. And if you take the nucleus of an atom and make it the size of a poppy seed, which is pretty huge compared to the nucleus of an atom. You take that nucleus, you make it a poppy seed. You know the little black seeds, the poppy seeds like on a bagel? If one of those poppy seeds, a little tiny poppy seed, if that poppy seed was in the middle of a football field as the nucleus of an atom, then its electrons are circling around it in a sphere, a giant sphere that contains the whole football field. A poppy seed. And those electrons, they are 100,000 times smaller than the poppy seed. That is a lot of space each atom is made of. And we're made of atoms. Lots of atoms. I didn't count mine today, but there's a lot. We live our lives here, in the in-between. Kind of like on Stranger Things, there was the upside down. We are living, really living in between the hugeness and the tininess, the smallness. We are surrounded by endless space going out into infinity while being made up of endless space. How do I even manage to sit in a chair when both me and the chair are made of mostly empty space? So here we are in the middle of
vast emptiness.
And here we are living our lives. And I'm deciding that I want to have 2 spoons of sugar in my coffee. Well, maybe I should just have one. Maybe I should try it black. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how I want my freaking coffee. The fact is, I am mostly empty space. I'm making a cup of coffee somewhere, or maybe ordering it in some cafe. And each sip I take, each sip, I am surrounded by vastness. I'm composed of vastness. And so is the coffee. And so is the cup. How do you understand that? How do you live with that? I am guessing that, like me, you live with it by not thinking about it very much. I mean, I certainly don't think about it when I'm crossing the street. Should I assume intelligence of the universe as a whole? Should I assume the universe is made of intelligence? I don't know. Whatever. The universe is so far beyond anything I can understand. It's just not possible to describe how far beyond my understanding it is. It is infinitely far beyond my little brain and the little thoughts I can make about it. I find no human who can describe the universe with little tiny words. Our words are created by us little monkeys. We learn to talk while we're futzing around on the surface of one little planet. But however far we are from being able to explain the entire universe, however stupid and stubborn and grandiose we are, however wonderful and creative and talented we are, however greedy and aggressive and ignorant we may all be, I also assume each and every one of us must emanate from this one great universal intelligence. Whatever has created galaxies and subatomic particles also created me and you and cups of coffee and war and peace and planets and trees and clouds. The whole thing emanates from this one universal intelligence. So whatever this whole universe is, for me, it's kind of like the way light gets refracted through a prism. When light passes through a prism, you can see all the colors. You can examine all the colors, and you can find out things like the colors occur at slightly different frequencies, et cetera, et cetera. Red is a different frequency than yellow. But to me, the central image of light refracting through a prism and emerging as different colors is kind of like the way a human being is one of the colors of the universe. Humans are refracted. We are intelligent beings that the universe manifests, because the universe passes through, the one universe passes through the giant prism of yin and yang, the giant prism of duality. And as the one thing becomes two, then the two becomes the 10,000 things. So the intelligence of the universe has refracted into us humans. So we all get the animal / body intelligence, which means we know, our bodies know how to beat a heart, how to breathe lungs. We have ducking reflexes, blinking reflexes. We can get hungry and find things to eat. Our bodies know how to poop out what we don't need. It's amazing. All that intelligence is all built in. In addition to our animal / body intelligence, as we grow, we also get imprinted with all the cultural and social and linguistic intelligence, and sometimes the lack thereof. We learn a particular variation of all that within the conditions of being born in a particular time, in a particular place. And then, in addition to all of that, we also get a little tiny slice of universal intelligence, our particular color of the universal intelligence that we can develop in addition to the animal body intelligence and in addition to whatever our social, cultural learning is. As I understand it, the universal intelligence that comes through me isn't really technically my intelligence. It's the universal intelligence coming through me. It can come through me to some degree, but mostly I'm kind of squeezing myself shut as hard as I can against it. Mostly I'm believing only in the physical reality that I see right now around me. Mostly I'm reacting with my likes and dislikes to what's happening around me right now. Mostly I'm just tuned only to what's happening in this world. I believe in the separate reality of me, and I've lost all my sense of the deep connection I have to everything else. But however much we might block it, this universal intelligence that can come through me, I'm calling that intuition. I'm using this word to point beyond what our TV set brains can produce. How do we tap into this wider, more intelligent universal intelligence? And while we're doing it, how can we ensure we are not just making up crazy thoughts that justify our personal neuroses? And then we call our personal whims intuition. I'll simply say that living in the vast in-between, humans need all the intelligence we can get. And because we're so social and yet so prone to fall into fear and separation, we need to find some way to share our intelligence with each other, even with people we disagree with. But we also need to be careful that the actions inspired by our intuition, by our gut feelings, we have to make sure that these actions do not harm others. So I'd say the first thing to remember is that universal intelligence is already all around you. It's what made you. It's what you're made of. You're not strictly cultivating this intelligence. What you cultivate is your ability to get out of the way so the intelligence can come through you. And it comes through you with compassionate awareness of whatever is surrounding you. How do you get out of the way? Mostly by just getting as quiet as you can. You let go more and more of what you think of as your individuality as you become able to. It's mostly that you can forget over time to be a me as you pay more and more attention to what's around you and let what's around you guide you into deeper and deeper compassion, which ipso facto kind of alley-oops can help you become more and more of a true individual. Even if you have a lot of experience meditating, the mind may not get very quiet most of the time. I know mine doesn't. It's not necessarily about stopping the superficial buzz. I think it's about starting to let go of what keeps the buzz going. Letting go of your thoughts as an important place to put your attention. There is, at least theoretically, space between your thoughts. Even if they're coming and going so fast and furious, they seem continuous. Becoming a little quieter gives the universal intelligence a place to enter the being, perhaps enter the guts. It enters as intuition, and then you can become aware of it from the thoughts created by the TV set mind. Even if your access to intuition is intermittent, it's always there. Having intuition goes along with having a human consciousness and a human body. If you feel your intuition is blocked, that only means to some extent you're interfering with it. So learning to cultivate intuition is all about how you more and more can get out of the way. A better question you might ask is, how do I allow intuition? Well, I've covered what is intuition as best as I could here in part one. So now it's time to segue into part two of this two-part series. So coming up in part two, I will give you some instructions that are designed to help you allow your intuition to deepen further. However much you have it and however you use it, my guess is we can all allow even more. As I said at the beginning of this episode, when I was talking about ritual, I mentioned intuition. For the next episode, to help you cultivate intuition, I'm going to give you a ritual. I'm going to lead you step by step into how to create a ritual that will help you cultivate intuition. And I'm going to do it for people who have never made a ritual for themselves at all. Actually, everyone has a ritual. Even the way you brush your teeth. Setting a cake down in front of somebody so they can blow it out and you sing happy birthday, blow out the candles. That's a ritual. But a real formal ritual with a beginning and an end and a really clear intention to cultivate intuition, that's what I'm going to talk about in part two. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.